Blog Talk Radio.
I've got it in stereo here. Hi, this is Elizabeth Hamilton-Garino with the Best Ever You Show. And with me today is Michael Grandinetti. And I am so excited to have you with us today. It's kind of like it's an odd format for a magician, though. It's like, poof, you appear. But you're here, though. You know, you're kind of used to this format that you have is used to TV or appearances and things like that. So how do you think we should do this on radio?
Well, I think first of all, I'm very happy and very excited to be talking with you. And I think I'm looking forward to just chatting away with you. I think the hour is going to disappear really quickly. So
oh, I think
gonna
so
be great.
Too. Yeah, I was reading your bio a while ago, and then before we went on the show a little bit, and I was trying to think of how to really introduce you properly because you're a White House guest. You go to the White House and perform for, the president and things like that. How do you get to be that great at doing, something that you get invited to do something like that? I mean, what an honor.
Well, first of all, thank you. And, magic for me, since I was five, since I could, my earliest memories, I've loved magic. And I knew from a very early age that that's what I wanted to do with my life. And I feel very lucky that I came to that realization so early in life. So, I think because of that, I was able to set goals and keep pushing forward and keep working towards making magic my career and making magic my life. And one of the things that I really enjoy with it is trying to find unique areas and unique paths to take, magic down and, create new challenges. And, I really have a great time being as creative as I possibly can with magic. So the White House was an amazing experience. I feel so fortunate to have been able to do that. Again, I think, it was just because I've put so much time and so much, heart into my career that we were able to move forward and progress to that point.
Now, when you're 5 years old, was there some big thing that happened where you were like, I know what I'm going to do? Was it really just a magic kit arriving and you loved it?
Well, it was both, actually. I got a magic set when I was five for Christmas, and it's amazing. It's like everything else under that Christmas tree disappeared. No pun intended.
Yeah.
And I was just drawn to it. And it was at that point, I was so young that, I remember my older cousin would he would come over, he would help me learn the tricks, and my family was my test audience. But I was very shy when I was younger, and still am, believe it or not. I'm not as shy, but I don't think you ever get over that.
No, everybody. I always think most performers are shy. As you get to know people, most actors or performers are deep down scared of their own shadow, and it's funny how being in front of 45,000 people doesn't scare. It's the funniest thing. Doesn't scare you, but I'm sure it does before you go live. I can't imagine being in front of 45,000 people like you've been. But do you, when I had that same magic set, you and I talked about this before. It was probably really close because we're not too far apart in age, I mean, a little bit. But is that the one with the cards and the put a marble under this cup and see, mix them all around and figure which one the marble's really under. Was it
yes,
that?
It was those simple kind of basic starter tricks. And I'll never forget. I took it into I think the big moment that made me go, this is what I want to do. I took it into show and tell when I was in kindergarten. And again, because I was shy, I remember being so nervous before I got up there. And I'll never forget. There was a girl, probably about two or three people before me, who went up with the same magic kit, and I thought, "Oh, I'm in trouble here. This is not good." But for some reason, though, even though when I got up and I did these little tricks that I rehearsed with my family,
yeah,
I remember seeing the kids smile and the teachers smile, and people enjoyed it. And, for a shy kid, that was pretty cool. So I thought, "Wow, this is it left a big impact." And from then on, it was just the love of my life, and I still feel that way today.
And are you married to that girl?
the magic set? No. No. You know,
if you're out there.
I'm 3,000 miles away from my hometown, so, you know, I think she's doing well.
Funny.
Yeah. That would be funny.
You're going to have to Facebook her.
I will.
Okay, so you're in Los Angeles now, but you're from Pittsburgh.
I'm from Pittsburgh.
At what point did you move?
And you also excuse me, I'm sorry, my voice is a little hoarse. It's been a very busy month with shows, so my voice is fighting me here this morning. I moved out to Los Angeles right after college, so I was 22.
Okay.
It was a big move. I mean, LA, you know, it's an interesting. You know, I know that you were just out in California yourself, and it's so different from back east. So it took a while to get adjusted to. But you know, I came out here and I hit the ground running. It's for the past 10 years. It's been focus and work and pushing ahead. So it's been a blur. I got to say, it's been a blur.
I bet. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I like, you know, LA is a great town, and there's just so many opportunities and so many great people, and you know, I certainly enjoy being here, although Pittsburgh will always be home to me.
Yeah. Now, did you, what did you graduate from college? We're going to cover a little bit of the past stuff first before we go into all the things that you've done. You went to college. Now, a lot of people with that kind of talent just skip college, so college was important to you. What did you graduate from college with? What kind of degree?
I went to Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, and I got a degree in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's you know, while my heart was telling me, you know, you want to be out and, you know, you're out of high school and go do shows, my head said, you know what, you need as much knowledge as humanly possible, and it's show business. You know, I think when you want to make a career out of it, it's really important, that I would tell this to anybody out there who wants to have a career in entertainment, to get a very firm knowledge and understanding of the business world and of marketing and of sales and of, you know, running a business and all of the information that goes with that. I think that is so important. Plus, in addition, I think college is you know, in general, having as much information about everything is really good. So, you know, it was never a question for me whether I wanted to go to college or not. And I think that... you know, the marketing and the business knowledge that I gained from that experience have paid off. I still keep in touch with my college professors today, and they're wonderful. And they still, even if I have questions, they're always there. So I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Now you must get a lot of out of my mouth is a lot of crap, because I imagine people come up to you and say, you know, make the professor disappear or something when you're in college. You know, people have got to know that you're a pretty talented magician. Do you get a lot of what's the strangest request you've ever gotten in your life, magic-wise?
Like joking or serious or?
Whatever, joke, you know, anything. I'm sure there have been numerous ones. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll tell you a funny story. I mean, you always get those. You know, hey, can you make my wife disappear? Kind of. Can you make my husband disappear? Kind of joke.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes I got a call. One of the things that we do, and I say we because I have. Well, I'm you know in my group I'm the magician, but I have assistants and I work with a group of builders, and I'm very fortunate to have a really good team of people in my life. About 2 years ago, I got a call from a building development company in Dubai. Overseas, and they were building what is now the world's tallest building over there. And they said, because we specialize in developing custom, you know, illusions for any situation, whether it's television or live events, or, you know, or what have you. So they said, we're building what is going to be the world's tallest building. We want you to make a building appear. And I said, wow, that's pretty big. So, you know, it's you know, over 100 stories, and fortunately, I knew exactly how we can make that happen.
Oh, you do? Okay. I was like, I don't, my head goes, no activity.
Well,
it's like, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, there's always that moment where you have to think about it and try to figure it out. But I've been doing magic for so long that it's like when you play the piano. You know, it's, you know, there are 8 different notes in a scale, but you combine those notes in different ways and you create, you know, a piece of music, and you create thousands of different pieces of music. Well, magic is very much the same, where there are basic building blocks and you combine those to create different illusions. I've spent so many years doing this that, you know, I'm able to have a pretty good understanding of these building blocks so I could solve these problems. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was, I said, well, you know, great, when is the building going to be built? We'll come over and work out the illusion. They said, no, you don't understand. The building is not going to be built. We want you to make it look like the building is there. And
sure.
We want you to go inside of it. And so I think they thought that, you know, that well, let's put it this way. That was certainly an interesting challenge to be faced with. I think that magic is for real. But,
exactly. Yeah.
But we still had a great time talking with them and gave them a bunch of ideas, and it was still one of my favorite experiences.
Okay, I have one for you. Now this one, I'm guessing you could probably give away this trick.
Uh-oh.
Maybe. Let's ask. How do you actually pull a rabbit out of a hat?
Well, funny, that is certainly one of the classic images in magic, and I don't want to spoil how it's done for you because
spent my entire childhood trying to pull rabbits out of hats unsuccessfully, just hoping they were going to appear, and they don't. How do you do that? Is it a little secret compartment in the hat?
No, you know, the hat can actually be examined. You can hand it out, and, you know, if you were to do that illusion, you know, that's not one that I do. But, again, it's, you know, you can hand the hat out. It's truly empty. And I think when you know how magic works, you're not robbing the magician. I think you're robbing yourself. I think anybody who wants to watch, you know, whether it be, you know, shows on TV or anything that explains how magic is done, you're not harming those of us who do the magic. I think, you know, there's a very unique emotion that you get when you watch a magician perform. You know,
oh,
you're
absolutely.
Amazed. And let me ask you, I think, you know, where else, outside of watching a really well-done piece of magic, where else can you find that feeling? Where else can you feel that? I think it's pretty rare.
It is. I haven't had the pleasure of being able to watch you do your thing yet, and I'm going to. It's our goal here. We're going to see a show with of yours at some point. But
great.
I have seen Siegfried and Roy in Las Vegas a long time ago. So that a little bit, but I don't know if they're the same as what you do. But they used to do some really neat things. But who are the other magicians of our time?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I think the world is full of magicians, and magic is such a popular art form. I think that there are more books.
I'm going to argue with you for a second, because really and truly, you're one of the greats, and I'm a great magician. The ones that are on TV and the ones who do the things like you do. I don't think there's a lot of you out there. Are there?
Well, the thing is that may be true. I think that, you know, magic is like, to do magic really well, I think there's a lot of people who are interested in magic. I think there's a lot of people who, you know, do magic as a hobby and who, you know, perform not as their you know, career or their business. There's a lot of lovers of the art of magic out there, all ages, you know, all demographics. I think, you know, there are more books written on, you know, I read this statistic recently, there are more books written on card tricks alone than any other subject, which I found to be really interesting. But I think to progress, to make your career, to thank you. To do that, it takes a lot of work. Magic is a tremendously complex art form. It's not just, you know, buying a piece of magic at a magic shop and doing it and becoming a great magician. I think that, you know, I tell people it's like a violin. You could spend the money, you could buy a violin, but if you don't know what you're doing, it's not going to sound that good when you are kind of screeching the bow across the strings. But with time and with practice and with understanding, you know, using that music analogy, you can make incredibly beautiful music. I think magic is the same. You really have to put the time in to understand, you know, magic history, presentational skills, psychology, perception, you know, understanding how audiences think and how audiences feel, because, you know, you also want to connect with audiences. You want to touch audiences on an emotional level. When you're performing with magic, I think it's potentially a very great gift you could share with audience. I don't mean that from a there's nothing egotistical about that. I think you could by that I mean it's you can make people happy. You can uplift people. You can make people forget about, you know, the stress that everybody faces in their lives. And I think that you know, you just have to put a lot of time and care into building your performance to reach that. So I think a lot of people, like anything, I think, you know, it's just a lot of people just don't, for whatever reason, the time or the interest, you know, put in, you know, the that's not their plan, that's not their goal, but it certainly was mine, and you know, I'm so, I feel so fortunate that I get to do what I wanted to do when I was five. So I'm a happy guy.
Now, do you have a mentor that, you know, like often trades and things like this have people that, you know, where you follow in their footsteps? Do you have somebody like that who has taught you some of the things that you know? Or are you, teaching younger people who want to do what you do also?
Well, you know, growing up, I learned, I never really had a mentor or a teacher. You know, I learned from back in those days, there weren't even, you know, there wasn't internet. You know, internet didn't arrive until I was in college. So, okay, I feel old.
Me too. How old are you?
I'm 33.
Okay, yeah, we are. I thought we were I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 41. So, yeah, there was definitely no internet when I was in college.
I was a
news broadcaster, so we used to have to type everything out and use a foot pedal to make it appear and all sorts of things.
Well, it's the same thing. So I would read books. I would there was a magic shop in downtown Pittsburgh. My dad would take me to on weekends, and I would use my allowance to buy new magic. You know, I would go to the neighborhood library. You know, I would anything that I could do to learn more about magic. You know, I did. It was always my goal. So it was kind of more of a, I guess, a self-taught, you know, thing for me. But nowadays, I think with kids or adults who want to get into magic, there's so many more different areas. There's, you know, there's online learning. There's DVDs. There's books. There's, you know, magic shops online. Although I would say this, and those branches off in so many directions, that for anybody interested in learning magic, there's nothing better than going into an actual, you know, magic store. It's convenient to buy stuff online. But man, I tell you, I can't imagine not having the experience of going into that store with my dad when I was a kid, and seeing all that magic on the shelf and behind the counters, and you know, it certainly shaped my life. So that's kind of how I learned.
Now, have you ever gotten hurt doing anything? I want to. There's a lot of listeners, and sometimes people also try things that they see on the internet or try things they see on TV or anything like that. Is there an element of danger to what you do at all? And have you ever gotten hurt?
There is an element of danger. I think that you know, when we do things like our spike tower escape that we did on the NBC special, it's truly dangerous. I mean, those spikes are truly razor sharp. They're really on fire. And for the special, they actually covered me in gasoline and kerosene to really up the danger in it. So,
fun.
Yeah, it was interesting. But you know, you have to be very careful with it. You know, I don't like to take. I love what I do too much to take unnecessary risks. I think that we rehearse. We're very careful, but the danger is real. You know, and I would hope that the people who see this stuff online or on television, you know, truly understand that and never try to imitate, you know, either in myself or anybody they see, anything dangerous that they see.
Yeah. Now you've been on The World's Most Dangerous Magic 2, Entertainment Tonight, New York Today, Fox and Friends. This one caught my eye, The Bold and the Beautiful. What are you doing on The Bold and the Beautiful? It's an interesting one. I'm like, the other ones are kind of like, yeah, people interviewing you like me or doing things, but what about The Bold and Beautiful?
Well, The Bold and Beautiful was a fun project. They got in touch with me a couple of years back, and one of their storylines involved Adrienne France, one of the actresses on the show. She needed to learn some some sleight of hand for you know, a scene that she was doing. So so they contacted me, and I met with them down at CBS in Hollywood, and taught her several pieces of magic. And it was really interesting. It was really, you know, she's certainly a great actress and a professional, and it was interesting to work with her and to see how she approached the magic and how she studied it and learned it, and it went great. It was you know, she performed it flawlessly, and you know, my title on the show was magic consultant / coordinator. So you know, I taught.
Did they give you a bit part acting? Did you get to be a villain or anything cool for helping out?
I was on screen briefly, and it was great. I had such a good time with it. You know, it was so much fun.
Yeah. And what about the Jerry Lewis telethon? What did you do there?
The Jerry Lewis telethon, we they were so nice. They asked. We did that 2 years in a row. For that, we really created specialized 5-minute segments of magic because it's live. I mean, and that show runs. It is like clockwork. I mean, it's when you look at that, it's an amazing, like, 24-hour live production.
Yeah.
With a goal in mind to help, you know, this fantastic cause. I mean, so, you know, for both of those, we created a 5-minute, you know, 2 different 5-minute segments of magic that featured a wide range of magic styles, from sleight of hand to grand illusions to an interactive piece of magic with the host. You know, I really wanted to show kind of a wide range. We wanted to really make it a full, colorful, varied, you know, segment. And it was a blast. It was again, so much fun. I love what I do. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, you can absolutely tell you do. Now, is it so much fun working with all the companies that you've worked for? And this caught my eye also, where you develop a lot of custom presentations, I imagine, for maybe like conferences or meetings or things like that for companies. How much fun is that? That's got to just be cool. I mean, I'm looking at the list here. Let me keep going for a minute. Mazda, HP, Ernst & Young, Harley Davidson. What did you do for them? I'm curious.
For Harley Davidson, first of all, to answer your question, yes, it's a blast. I have it's so much fun, and you know, we get to be creative, and every show is different. And I get to design so many different illusions just to meet their needs and to showcase their products. And for Harley Davidson, we did an illusion where a platform, a very thin platform, elevated 5 feet above the stage, had searchlights all around it. You can see behind it, beneath it, again, above it, around it. And we lit the platform on fire. And instantly, in a third of a second, that fire changed into one of the brand-new models of Harley Davidson motorcycles.
Cool.
Complete with a rider on it. So it was.
However you do that,
great.
I have no idea. That's amazing. yeah, and you're not going to tell me either, and I'm good with that. But I
don't
think
worry,
it's so cool
you
can do
don't
stuff
worry.
Like that. Yeah. Okay, we got to go here for a minute, especially since you're from this area. The World Series champions, the Phillies, they invited you to come to their stadium. And you were in front of, gosh, I don't even know, 45,000 people, which scares the crud out of me. I don't know how you did that to start with. That right there is an achievement. But you not only did that, but you did something with a mascot. What'd you do with the Fanatic?
Oh, we made, this is Bank Park, we made the Fanatic magically appear in the outfield. Which was when we first started talking about this idea, it was quite a challenge because if you think about it, first of all, the Fanatic, the Fanatic is, you know, 90 inches round. He is seven feet
tall. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, he is, you know, 315 pounds, and in a stadium, this was during a day game, so it was bright light. You're surrounded by, you know, 40,000 people, and you also have people looking kind of almost straight down at you.
From every
also,
angle. And daylight.
And,
like the dark isn't even your friend there. You have to do
this
in broad daylight.
That's right. And obviously, no trap doors of any kind because the field is, you know, the baseball fields and all these stadiums, they're immaculate. So, you know, even on all the illusions, we had to outfit them with really special tires so that they wouldn't disrupt the grass at all. So that really gave us a unique set of conditions to work with in order to produce this illusion. But
you
it worked,
it, didn't you?
And it worked, and I loved it. And the Fanatic was great to work with. We really had a good time.
Now, do you have any copies of that, like on YouTube or anything like that, where we can actually go back and watch that?
Yeah, I do have that on my as part of my highlights reel. It's on my website.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to see that, and there's a bunch of our, you know, several of our other stadium illusions that we did where I levitated above the pitcher's mound in Kansas City. And so, yeah, if they go to my website and click on the media page, they'll see the promo video right there. And, I'd love for people to see it.
What's your web address again? Is it michaelgrandinetti.com?
Yes, it's michaelgrandinetti.com.
Okay. And spelling your last name is Grand. I-M-E-T-T-I, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so people will get that. And then I love this part. After the fifth inning, you performed one of the largest live interactive illusions in history when he read the minds of all 45,000 people in the stadium at the same time. And what was that?
Oh, that was, you know, I really tried to think of a way to do something in the stadium that they could involve everybody. And what we came up with was when everybody entered into the stadium, they and we did this both in Philadelphia and we did this in Kansas City, they received a postcard with pictures of the team's players on them, 12 different pictures. And, you know, during the presentation of this illusion, we had everybody in the stadium audience take out their postcards and put their finger on any picture that they wanted. The choice was totally up to them. And then they could move around the postcard and stop their finger wherever they wanted. So you figure you have 40,000 people, 40,000 fingers moving around this postcard and randomly stopping anywhere. On the field the entire time, we had a prediction. It was in full view. It was a giant banner that was rolled up. And we told everybody, okay, we're going to unroll this prediction. And if we are correct and who we predicted that you're going to be, you know, the player that you're going to be thinking of, that you're going to have your finger on the postcard, everybody, whoever were correct on, stand up. Well, magically, every single person had their finger on the exact same player at the exact same time, and that also matched the prediction that we had before they ever put their finger on the postcard in the first place.
That's so buzzed. How'd you do that? You're not going to tell me, are you?
No, I can't tell you, but it was, no, yeah. it was really interesting to see, you know, to be standing down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wondered what it would be like. I wondered, you know, how it would go over, how it would feel, and to see those 40,000 people stand up, you know, because we tell them, you know, again, if we got this right, stand up and applaud. And to see that, it was and to know that they experienced magic on a very personal level like that, it was, made me very happy. I really, you know, it's one of our, a moment that makes me very proud.
Yep. Now, can we talk about your team a little bit, just to give them some shout-outs for who helped you and so forth? Who helps you? Who's on your team with you?
Well, I have a great group of people, and actually, believe it or not, I'm really lucky that a lot of these guys are people that I met, that I grew up with, you know, from Pittsburgh,
cool.
My hometown, and we travel all over the country together, and you know, some of them, we don't even live in the same town anymore, but they get tickets, and, you know, airline tickets, and travel, and we meet up, and, you know, because, you know, they their families are still back east, and I could totally understand, you know, they want to be close to their families, and so we make that work, you know, it's, you know, I'm so, these guys, again, these are people that I grew up with and went to high school with and college with, and they are truly, truly great. They really care. You know, they care about this as if it were, you know, their name up on the marquee.
Yeah, and I've got two people who do Best Ever You like that with me, who help me with the magazine, and then all of the experts and stuff. They care about it like it's their own baby too. It's really neat when people do that, isn't it?
You know what? You just cannot ever appreciate that enough, and it makes all the difference in the world. So yeah, I'm really lucky in that regard.
Yeah. Now, do you let me go back for a minute here, so I'm going to lose my voice a little bit. When you were in high school and college, were you doing higher-level illusions and things like that then? So this group of builders knows you from doing some of that, or was it you moved to Los Angeles and the scale went up and so you needed the people?
Well, I've been doing, you know, larger illusions since I was 16.
Okay.
And at that point, I was still in high school and still living in Pittsburgh. And I had, I had the group of you know, my assistants and my technical staff who were, you know, the guys who I grew up with who were helping me on stage and helping me, you know, set up the illusions and just being a tremendous support staff all around. And then as we got bigger, as we continued to grow, when I was in college, when I was 20, we produced a show at Pittsburgh Bynum Theater. And that was one of the first shows where we really tried to up the illusions, and we had everything built by the same builders who built for the Vegas shows and the Broadway shows. And so at around 20, I started to have these pretty massive illusions built. And then when I moved to Los Angeles, you know, fortunately, a lot of these guys are here in L.A. And, two of them in particular, two builders who run a shop literally about 15 minutes away from where I'm at right now, they are a tremendous help as we develop all these custom illusions. Because I'm so close, I'm able to go over there and work with them, and they're great to work with. And we, you know, we're able to. It's great to be able to be hands on while these things are being you know, developed and built. So, you know, that hands on with the building, I don't build them. You know, I don't have my hands in that, but to be able to see them and to say, well, what if we did that, and what if we changed that, and why don't we try this? To be able to be there for that really happened once I got to Los Angeles.
Yeah. All right. Taking a break from magic for a little bit and illusions and just to who you are as a person, just aside from the career and everything. What are some of the things that you like to do with your life?
Other than magic.
Do you work out? Do you know, healthy eating? Things like that. Because we're the best ever you show and you know, We love great careers and things like that, but I'm sure there's some time and energy that has to go in to yourself.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. I think in order to, you know, really succeed at whatever you want to do, that first and foremost starts with taking care of yourself, physically, you know, and you know, and mentally and emotionally, you know, from a physical standpoint, I am. You know, very, very regimented in my diet. You know, I try and eat very, very healthy. You know, I go to the gym, you know, five to six times a week on a, you know, when I can. On a travel week, I still go, you know, at least three times a week. You know, so physically, I try and make sure that I'm always in good shape. I make sure that I get 7.5 hours of sleep. You know, every night, and because, you know, because I'm up there, you know, presenting too, that's part of the image. I think, you know, the audience doesn't want to see somebody who's tired and who's, you know, struggling. They want to see somebody who's in, you know, who's energetic and you know, able to give their all. So, and I want to give my all. I think if people are in the audience and if they want to see my show, I want to give them, you know, 200%. You know, I want everything to be as good as it possibly can be. So so I really try to take care of that. I think that also gives you great, you know, peace of mind. And the fact that I'm doing what I love makes me, you know, mentally happy. You know, I there's nothing I would rather be doing, and I enjoy it very much. And so, it's very important that you take care of yourself and you keep yourself in really good shape.
Did your parents ever say, "Oh, Michael, get a job already," or anything like that? Did you?
Well,
sometimes you run into, you know, actors, entertainers, and things like that, and some are very well supported by the family when they say, you know, you go, and the other ones are like, "Oh my gosh, get a job already," or something. What did you have?
No, my parents have always been tremendously supportive, and I'm so lucky with that. You know, that doesn't mean that they weren't concerned when I moved to Los Angeles, they were concerned, and, you know, and the entertainment business is a challenging business. I mean, you know, it's you have to work really hard, and, well, you have to do that and everything, but, you know, there's a lot of, a lot of waves, and but my parents have always been very supportive, and I've always said, you know, they know how much I love this. They've known how much I've always loved this. And, you know, anything that I wanted to do, whether it was, you know, doing, you know, producing the show when I was in college or moving to Los Angeles, you know, in my early 20s or, you know, even our, you know, all of our endeavors now, my entire family is you know, they're behind me 100%. So, which I certainly appreciate.
Yeah. Well, what are some of your goals coming up? What is it? Where do you want to take this whole thing? What you've done already is amazing. But where do you, you know, take it out 20 years? What do you want to be doing?
Well, you know, first and foremost, as long as I'm doing magic, I'm going to be a happy guy. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I think I have a lot of goals. You know, I really would like to. One of the projects we're working on in Los Angeles is television. I would really like to bring a really unique television series to magic series to television. You know, I think magic on television needs to be done a certain way, but I think when it's done a certain way, I think it could be tremendously powerful, tremendously entertaining, really visual, and something that the whole family can watch and enjoy. You know, I think that you know, that's certainly the aim that that I develop all my material under. So there's certainly television. I would love to bring a unique magic show to the Broadway in New York.
That's a good idea.
Oh yeah, it hasn't been done in quite a while.
Could you figure out how to make the Spider-Man debacle go better?
Well, I know that they're certainly trying to make that work.
Bring in,
you know, certainly an ambitious undertaking of what they're doing. And, you know, I think that it just goes to show you that I think that, you know, people are trying to push the boundaries what's out there to capture people's imagination. And I don't think that's ever a bad thing.
No, I completely respect the boundary pushing, but I do think they should call you, perhaps. Maybe you could solve some of their dilemmas.
I think Broadway is certainly a great venue for magic. That's definitely one of my goals.
How neat would that be? I love Broadway. When I used to work in New York, I would go to all the Broadway shows. I mean, just absolutely, there wasn't one I missed for years and years and years. Just fun. That would be so neat to see you on Broadway.
Oh, thanks.
Well,
thank you. New York City and Broadway just have such a, New York City is overall is just such an amazing
love
town.
It.
The
Isn't
feel
it fun?
Of just being there. Every time I get there, from the time I hit the airport, it just feels amazing. I mean, it's just such an exciting town.
That's where I almost headed out of high school. I almost headed to New York City.
New York?
And my parents were, I'm from Iowa, you know that. And my parents were like, you're going to get robbed and murdered. There's no way. So I never did that. But I can remember always wanting to be there on, just from seeing things on TV in Iowa and stuff. I'm like, that's where I belong. And so I finally went there when I was probably about, you're lucky you grew up right by it, but I think I went there when I was like 21 or so. And I remember getting a postcard and sending it back to the CEO of the company that I worked for saying, this is so my town. Just popped it in the mail back to him. And I worked there for so long. I used to go there for weeks at a time. So much fun. But, yeah, I can totally see you, livening up New York even more. How fun would that be?
I would love it.
Okay, so we've got the TV series, the Broadway. What else?
I would love to. I think, you know, Las Vegas is certainly an exciting town. Certainly an opportunity for magic. I would love to do that. I would love to, you know, I think because I enjoy designing magic for so many different situations. I think that books and consulting on more television and movies and.
Do you ever have your own Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought
you were... go ahead. Absolutely. What was your question?
Might ever have your own magic kit with your own name on it. How would you improve a magic kit?
I would love to do that. I would love to do that. How would it be improved?
Yeah, because our son Quinn got he's now 14, at around 10 or 11, he loved magic tricks, and he still does. I don't know if he'll ever be a performer from it, but he just loves it. I don't know why, but, you know, he's the one. He'll pull a coin out of your hair and all sorts of stuff all the time. And he got this magic kit, and we thought it was the best magic kit in the world. We bought it online, spent probably about $120 on it, maybe even more, and it sucked. It had a terrible instruction thing. We ended up throwing it out. I don't think it was ever even used. It was awful.
That's very sad to hear.
Yeah.
I think, first of all, I think a magic kit needs to be designed by somebody who understands magic and wants the kids to learn it, not by it can't be treated like it's just another toy coming off the assembly line. I think somebody has to really understand magic. And also, I think, you know what, magic's a great, even when you're not a performer, when you don't want it to, when you don't have the goal to make it your career, I think even as a kid or even as an adult, there are so many good qualities that come from studying magic. I think it's such a, particularly for children. I mean, for me, it helped me overcome shyness. It helped me with my presentation mm-hmm. skills. It helped me learn how to, you know, process information and follow these. Luckily, fortunately, you know, the instructions, you know, that I had were you know, better than the unfortunate situation that came with the magic kit that you bought. Mm-hmm.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking of something here. I wonder, would you do me a favor?
Sure.
It's going to be a dumb favor because I know you're a really busy guy.
But would you
seek out a magic kit that you would buy for maybe like a 10 to 14-year-old and let me know what it is, a good one? And then what
Absolutely.
We'll do is we'll issue it a best ever use seal of approval and say, you know, Michael Grandinetti loves this magic kit or something like that. We'll, you know, and that way, because we got a lot of emails and tweets back about what's a good magic kit before we went on. I've got a 10-year-old, what's a good magic kit? I've got a 12-year-old, what's a good magic kit? So that's kind of why I brought that up a little bit, because I think there's a lot of frustration out there.
Well, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a great, great book on magic that's out. It's still out. It's been out for going on 30 years now. It's called The Mark Wilson Course in Magic. And it's a hardcover book. It's about, you know, 350 or 400 pages. It covers everything from sleight of hand with coins, cards, ropes, you know, things around the house, how to build your own illusions, how to, you know, it talks about the psychology of magic. You know, the man who wrote it is really an amazing, amazing man and one of the most accomplished magicians, you know, in the world. And I had this book, you know, when I was young and starting out. And I think, you know, I would highly recommend that book to anybody who wanted to learn.
Great. Yeah, that's really helpful because I think a lot of people, because, you know, as parents, you know, who wants to, you know, drop $130 on something that's just going to end up being junk when the little trick ropes don't work or the, you know, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
It was really frustrating. And I think I'm going to do that, especially with our child who's 14 now because he's still really interested in it. But what's it called again? The Mark Wilson?
Yes, Mark Wilson Course in Magic.
Course in Magic, okay.
It's a great book, and I think books are a great way to learn. I think, you know, there are, you know, whereas in a magic kit you might get, you know, maybe 50 pieces of magic, you know, in one of the larger kits. I think out of a book you can get hundreds of different pieces of magic. Mm. You know, I remember when I was, you know, with the various magic books I had growing up, the fun thing is every time you open them up, you tend to find something different. You know, it's kind of a new adventure every time you crack open the book. So I had so much fun learning from the magic books when I was growing up. And I think that still holds up today. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm going to try it. And I'll tell the Best Ever You community about that book, too. And hopefully you can help me do that because we had quite a number of questions. Do you think you'll ever end up writing a book?
I would love to.
I
would love
to. I can
see
you doing that. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I, you know, I, I, I put a lot of thought into what I into you know what I do, and you know it's been I've tried to learn from every step of you know the adventure that I've been on for the past 30 years, and I would love to I would absolutely love to write a book, so add that to my list of goals.
So we've got all sorts of stuff. Now, do you have any idols or heroes or anything like that that you just absolutely, you know, adore? You're a guy, so I don't know if adore is the right word. Sorry.
Well, I'll tell you something. Not so much in professional, you know, as far as, you know, I certainly admire what you know, in entertainment, what people have done and you know, and everybody's achievements, but you know, on a personal level, I look up to my you know, I'm really blessed with a really great family. I have really, you know, incredible parents and really incredible siblings, and I think you know, my
you have brothers and sisters.
Oh no, that's, so I think that, you know, on a personal level, you know, I you know, my dad in particular and my mom both have always been you know, incredible role models. Mm-hmm. So I think that if I were to answer that anybody would be a role model, it would certainly be them. Mm-hmm. You know, outside of that, I think in you know, entertainment, you know, we're really lucky that we've had some great people to who've carved some really great paths over the years. So,
now, will you ever do anything like work in movies? If you have already, sorry, I. Your bio is so long. That's funny. You've got so much stuff that you've done. But will you ever, you know, I don't know if a lot of that stuff is computer graphics, but, you know, you see a lot of stunts and things like that on in the movies and on, you know, and also on TV. But does that require someone like you to help out and assist and give guidance also?
Yeah, I think that you know, you could do it with magic. You can make it look so much more real. I think it makes it so much more intriguing. You know, if you were to utilize the techniques of magic to create these effects, rather than computer generation or anything like that, I think audiences know when something is you know, you can tell when it's CGI or something that's not exactly real. I think, you know, magic makes it much more believable. And I think that even from a unique standpoint, you know, if the audience knew that this stuff, you know, weren't, you know, computer generated, that it was done for real, it just makes it that much more compelling to watch. So mm-hmm. I think there's a tremendous opportunity for that.
All right. So talking with Michael Grandinetti, just wanted to let you know that you can go to Michael's website, which is michaelgrandinetti.com. And you do have a reel there where you can see all, you know, some of the different things that you've done, and there's just a ton of stuff. And if you want to get in touch with Michael to hire him or anything, I know we have a lot of corporations that listen to us and people who, you know, CEO types. So maybe somebody will do that. I know I'm thinking Best Ever You Conference with Michael as the halftime show. So we'll see. But you've done, there's another thing I wanted to talk to you about that you've done, and that's 100 shows at the Magic Castle.
Yes.
How fun is that? You're so lucky that you get to do all this stuff. Was that
it's
just a dream come
thing.
True or what?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Magic Castle is you know, it's a
Magic Castle.
Oh yeah, for people outside of LA, or you know, it's a kind of an old mansion from the early 1900s that was converted into this amazing place that you can go where you have dinner, and there are, you know, different theaters throughout this old mansion that you know, there are 7 different magic shows every night, and there's magic history around every corner, and it's just, you know, it's a formal night out. You have to get dressed up, and you know, you have to be on a guest list to get in, and you know, when you're in there, it's just such a you know, an amazing kind of you know, special experience. We're actually doing 6 shows there this weekend.
You are.
Yeah, which
I'm
is really
cut
exciting.
Out. What was it?
Oh, we're doing shows in what's called the Peller Theater, which is, I'm really excited about it. It's actually a brand new theater in the castle, where it's kind of a unique mix where there's a stage where you could do some larger things, but you know, the audience seating area, you can maybe fit 50 to 75 people in there tops. So you're able to do, it's a really intimate kind of showroom. So as compared to the stadiums where, you know, everybody is, while still amazing experiences, which I love, this is a way to really get up close and personal with people and, you know, see the looks on their faces. And so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. What's the highlight? Is that the highlight? I'm trying to figure out what the highlight of your career has been so far.
Highlight of my career?
Yeah.
Oh, it's tough.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
I've loved each and every one of these projects. If most memorable for me would have to be, you know, I loved doing the NBC special. I loved doing the stadium shows. The stadium shows were just, you know, just a dream come true. I loved being at the White House. You know, I love every time I step on stage. You know, I love, you know, every show that we do. So, but I think that, you know, what we even going back to, I'll tell you something that we did. You know, one of the very first things that I did was back in high school, one of the big large illusions I did was the high school, you know, football team and band director approached me and said, hey, can you? Because, you know, it was known that that I loved magic and I did shows. And they said, hey, can you make a girl disappear from the football field? And we did it. And it became a running thing for several years at my high school's halftime shows and their football games where a girl would disappear from the field and end up in the stands with the audience. And that was very memorable because it was the first thing that I ever saw come to life like that. So they're all memorable. But to pick one is just is very, very hard.
Now, when you're in high school and you're doing those types of things, does that make you the most popular kid in the whole entire universe? Or are people afraid of you? Or how does that work?
Well, you know, I don't know. I never really thought in terms of you know, popularity or anything like that.
I wondered if you were going to answer me like that. I was maybe the most popular, and I had chicks hanging off me from everywhere.
In high school, I was still just, you know, be quiet, kind of more reserved guy, just doing my thing and doing
what I like. Deep down, when you know you, you're real. That's who you really are, and you know, I think so too. Yeah.
Oh, I certainly, that's how I feel. You know, that's, you know, magic is what I love, and it's what I do, and it's my job, and you know, and it's the love of my life, and I enjoy it. But I'm still, I think, that same kind of quiet, reserved kid from Pittsburgh, who's just doing what he loves.
Yeah. Now, we only have probably like 5 or so minutes left to talk with you. Is there anything, I always ask this of every guest, is there anything that I haven't asked you that I should have asked? Because I think I covered a lot of stuff, but I always feel like there's something I should have asked that I just missed.
You know what? You did great. I have to say, when you said that, I was stunned. I felt maybe we've been talking for 15 minutes. You know, maybe 15 minutes. The fact that the hour's gone by so fast is
isn't it wild? Yeah, it usually does on this show. We usually get to chatting about everything in the kitchen sink.
It's been great.
Well, I'm wondering, there's a lot of people that live in tinier towns. Do you ever, you know, like Maine, for example, will you ever come to places like Maine or, you know, like a Sea Dogs game here or something like that? Or are we too small now? I'm curious.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I would love to. You know, there's no, as long as there's somebody who wants to see, you know, a show, that's where I'll be. You know, there's no such thing as, you know, a town or a place that's too small. You know, like I said earlier, I love what I do and I love, watching people respond to it. And so I hope I get to your town soon. I would love to see you out in the audience and have you see our show.
Remember, you promised at some point in my lifetime you have to saw me in half. I need that anyway,
deal.
But no.
Deal, you have a deal.
I'm Mrs. Maine, you know. We got to saw Mrs. Maine in half at the halftime show or something funny. But no, seriously, if people do want to book you for something, do you have a team of people that helps you with that, or are you doing this yourself? How do you get in touch with you to actually book you, and how many months out do you have to book you? To appear somewhere?
Well, you know, our schedule tends to fill up you know, pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I always tell people that, you know, send a note through my website, and those always get filtered through, you know, the people who handle our bookings, and you know, if people are sending me a note with questions, and I welcome questions about, you know, not only about, you know, potential appearances, but if people have questions about magic or about, you know, even following their goals and making their goals, you know, a reality, I'm always happy to answer any questions like that as well. So whether it's a personal inquiry or a business inquiry, I tell people to contact me through my website, and it always gets filtered to the proper place. And I always enjoy hearing from everybody.
Yeah. Have you ever, and we only have 4 minutes, but have you ever been discouraged at all? You don't strike me in your voice or tone or the way you speak that you've ever really been discouraged. Has that ever happened to you? I know I've been discouraged a few times where I'm like, oh, my God, I give up already. And then the next day you're like, okay, I'm fine. Do you ever have that where you're just like, okay, I'm something isn't working out, or do you just go in a different direction? Because I know, especially in the entertainment field, this happens. People get discouraged and want to give up. Do you recommend that, or do you say keep trying?
I think never give up. There's never been a day in my life, never been a day since I got that magic serum when I was 5, where I ever thought, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do something else. You know, now that's not to say that there hasn't been challenges and there hasn't been difficult time.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody faces it. Everybody. No matter what you do, no matter who you are, no matter what level of your career you're at, everybody faces that. But you know, there has never been anything in my life that I have found that has ever made me as happy and has felt so right as doing magic. So there's never been a day, you know, even when there's been challenges or difficult situations where I've ever considered, you know, ever doing anything else. It's always been in my mindset, it's been, okay, how do we make this work? How do we turn this around? What do we do now? How do you, you know, I think I would tell anybody if it's truly what you want to do, never be discouraged, never give up, stay on that path. Everybody,
navigate.
You just keep putting one foot in front of the other and you keep moving forward. If it is truly what you want to do, there is nothing wrong with, if something is not what you want to do, you know, adjusting your path accordingly. But if it's truly what you want to do, then I say you go for it and you never be discouraged and you never let anybody else tell you what you can or can't do. If you want to do it, you do it.
Wisdom. Yeah, absolutely. That's the way I feel for the past 3 years with my company, Best Ever You. It is just, I'll hit a brick wall sometimes and I just go, okay, there's a brick wall, we're going this way. And, you know, you just... Yep. The journey, it just continues no matter what, but I won't ever give up until Best Ever use a household name.
And you know what? And
I might be 80.
You know what? You are a perfect example. You know, you look at your website, you look at your magazine, and you are the perfect example of doing exactly that. And doing
so
this,
are you.
Following your goals,
for it.
What you do, and you are doing a fantastic job. And, you know, I think you're a perfect example to all your listeners of you know, moving forward, not giving up on your goals and your dreams and making them happen.
And, you know, we only have 2 minutes, so actually one now, so we have to go. But, you know, on that note, it's really people like you who even make us succeed, though, because we get to interview people like you. It's really fun. I love my job because, you know, it just puts people in my path that are just so darn cool and they're so inspirational. So, and you are that. So thank you so much,
thank
Michael,
you.
For joining us today. And there's that lady again in our ear. Nobody else is.
Our cue, yes, our cue to go.
our cue to wrap up. But I do want to send people back to your website, which is michaelgrandinetti.com, and then to our website also, which is besteveryou.com and bestevercommunity.com, because we will follow up after the show with links to Michael, photos of Michael, and a copy of the show so people can listen in and forward it and things like that. So thank you, Michael, and good luck this weekend. You're so lucky that you get to be at the Magic House. There's a magic castle. It's not even
magic
a house.
Castle.
It's a magic castle, yeah.
Well,
so have fun. And, you know, I hope you come to Portland, Maine. I know we're not,
I
you know,
so.
You grew up Yeah, you grew up not too far away from us anyway, but you should check out the Sea Dogs. I think they would love you here.
I would love to be there, and I promise you we will get there. We will absolutely get there, and thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure talking with you, you know, I really have enjoyed our time here today, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, thank you, everybody, and we hope you have a wonderful day, a best-ever-you kind of day. And again, please visit Michael's website at michaelgrandinetti.com. All right. Thanks, Michael, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, too.
All right. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.